just be a matter of time and it would dawn on me. So this was the progression. This is where my brain took me, my spaghetti plate brain. Again, all thoughts jumbled together. I don't compartmentalize very well. I had started out to tell you with the last, say, 90 seconds at the top of the hour that producer Jay and I are doing some double duty because after the show, we are going to record our first edition of the After Hours After Party. What you will not hear on CBS Sports Radio, it's going to be exclusive to YouTube. Because I then said we have to do it Tuesday morning since on Wednesday morning I'm checking out. It's my summer vacation. And that led me to summer vacation that's not nearly exotic as my sister-in-law and my brother who are in Iceland. My summer vacation is going to Houston, but at least it's mom and there's a pool. So that's it. That's where I was going with it. And then I got stuck on talking about Iceland and these pictures and I lost my way. But now I'm back. And yes, Jay and I will have something special for you. We're going to try out something new now that we have gotten to the point where we're a year under our belts. We want to take a little creative license and try something out for the fall and football season. We're calling it the After Hours After Party, yet another YouTube venture that we will attempt here as we head into the fall, along with our Stairway to Seven series and, of course, the periodic versions of Ask Amy Anything on video from, I don't know, a park near you. So check out our YouTube channel. It's always available. And as much as you love producer Jay, it's his favorite thing. Trust me, he does the job behind the double pane glass just so he can run the YouTube channel. It's like the trade-off for him. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need cash out of your home and a simple way to get it, Rocket can. So yes, find the show on Facebook or on YouTube. It's named after the show, really easy. If my mom can find it, so can you. Or you can, well, you don't have to go either or. And you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Right now, we're pleased to welcome former NFL QB and Super Bowl champion Sean King, who is fresh off a show recently that he does for VSiN Network. And that's based in Las Vegas, which is where we catch up with him now. Sean, thanks so much for a couple of minutes. I feel like this is a curveball. We should be used to those with the NFL. Jimmy Garoppolo staying with the San Francisco 49ers, restructuring his contract. So now that it's had a couple of hours to sink in, what's your reaction? After all the trade talk, he's not going anywhere.
Well, Amy, first of all, thank you for having me. I actually think this is the absolute 100% right move. You know, let me give you a comparable statistic. Jimmy Garoppolo threw for 3,800 yards in last year alone. Since 2018, Trey Lance has thrown for a total of about 3,500 yards. So you're talking about a young player that doesn't have a lot of experience playing the quarterback position. You know, I remember 2 years ago when I looked at what they gave up to trade up to take him, I just didn't think that his maturation and growth process would fit with the rest of their roster makeup. Because they have a Super Bowl caliber roster. But I also knew that John Lynch didn't want to extend Jimmy Garoppolo for $200+ million because of his injury history. So I think this is the absolute right move. If Trey Lance is ready, then it's his job. If he isn't, no harm, no foul. Garoppolo gives us the best chance in that scenario to still compete at the level the rest of our roster says. And next year, it'll be Trey Lance's job, unquestioned. And we'll just have to ride with the results.
Well, let's start with the Garoppolo piece. Are you then investing in this young QB because you want him to get better? Or is this still a competition in your eyes?
Well, it's always a competition. But I think the great thing about this situation that I don't think has been a part of the national conversation is Jimmy and Trey are both great guys. You know, it's in a situation like Cleveland where you have people in the locker room saying, you know, Baker's worn out his welcome. You know, it's not a situation like Carolina last year where Robbie Anderson comes out and says he doesn't think Sam Darnold can do it. You haven't heard any internal issues. So I think that helps the situation. And, you know, Trey is kind of in the same position that Jimmy was in last year. You know, here was Jimmy coming off of leading the team to a Super Bowl berth 2 years prior, and they trade up to take a quarterback in the first round. And Jimmy went out and did his job. So I think that was a great example for Trey about how to handle and balance the fact that I'm competing for the job, but also both of us are what's best for the team. Mm. Having two really good quarterbacks is better than having one. I think we've seen that in the NFL.
I'm so glad you said that, because I have compared the situation in Cleveland, Baker's exit, with the way that Jimmy Garoppolo has handled his business in San Francisco, but also the fact that you do not hear one bad word about Jimmy G from his teammates or about Trey Lance. It seems like their teammates are real comfortable with the situation too, which obviously helps inside the locker room.
Absolutely. And I mean, the difference in this situation, if I was managing Trey Lance, or I was his agent, I'd say, Trey, listen, this is the best situation for us. It's your team. You get to go out, and if you're ready for this responsibility, then it's yours. But, Trey, if you're not and you just need more time, then Garoppolo still allows the team to reach their full potential this year. And in a situation where they're ever going to consider giving Garoppolo what the starting quarterback market says he would get, so it's going to be your team. And what I think is really smart, so much of being a successful young quarterback is confidence. Mm-hmm. This protects Trey, if he gets off to a bad start, from being ruined.
Interesting. Sean King is a former NFL QB and a Super Bowl champion with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. So, Sean, then if you are Kyle Shanahan, what signs are you looking for that you need to make a change?
Well, I don't think you're going to it with that approach. I think you're going to it thinking Trey is ready. We're going to expose him, you know, to what we would normally expose our quarterback to from a scheme standpoint, from a game plan standpoint. We're not going to put speedometer on him. You know, we're going to let him go out and play. And one, last year he started two games, got injured in the second game.
Right.
If that was to happen this year, we're protected because we have Jimmy. But if it seems like it's too much too soon, he's getting overwhelmed because of his inexperience, we can tell him, listen, we're going to play Jimmy, we'll have a few packages for you, and still gain experience, but also not compromise what's the ultimate objective of every organization, which is to win games.
We've got a situation in Pittsburgh where it's a rookie in Kenny Pickett, clearly has had a good preseason, but there's a couple of veterans on the staff, and maybe Mike Tomlin already knows who he will start in week number one, but what do you think of that quarterback competition so far?
Well, I think this is kind of the antithesis of what the San Francisco fan base seems mad that they have two what people think are pretty good quarterbacks. One potential, you know, one's proven it. Pittsburgh's elated. I mean, I love Big Ben Roethlisberger, but Big Ben's been shot for 2-3 years. Like, they're so happy to have capable bodies that can move out of the pocket, avoid the rush, run around, make plays. They don't know what to do. They're in a great position. You have Mitchell Trubisky in what is truly a contract year, a guy that I think doesn't get enough credit. I mean, in Chicago, he was really not that bad, to be honest, Amy. 61 touchdowns, I think 34 picks in his career. It's not his fault that Chicago drafted him ahead of Deshaun Watson and Patrick Mahomes. That was the biggest thing against Mitch Trubisky his entire career there. We could have had Deshaun Watson. We could have had Patrick Mahomes.
Gosh.
I think this is a great opportunity for him after sitting under Josh Allen last year to really reinvent, you know, his image, to recreate the narrative around his career. At the same time, they got a really talented young quarterback from Pittsburgh in Kenny Pickett. So if Trubisky isn't ready to take that jump, then guess what? You have a young guy that can grow with young pieces. See, to me, the difference between Pittsburgh and San Francisco is Pittsburgh's key components are young. Chase Claypool, George Pickens, Najee Harris, all relatively really young players. Even Deontay Johnson is not an old guy, so they can grow. Whereas San Francisco, Debo Samuels, George Kittles, Trey Williams, like, those guys are older. Like, they're in win-now mode. So two completely different situations. I like both quarterback rooms for both organizations. Hopefully, I hope both fan bases come around.
You use the word jump to speak about a rookie quarterback as he's trying to acclimate himself to pro football. What's the biggest challenge facing a young QB when he is trying to prove that he belongs?
Expectations, Amy. I mean, it's the most unfair situation a young quarterback could ever be in. That's what Trey Lance is in this year. Tell me, what were Zach Wilson's best and worst games last year? Tell me, what were Trevor Lawrence's best and worst games last year? Like, nobody knows because nobody cared. They got to go out there every Sunday. Let me see if I can make this throw. Let me see if I can make that throw. Let me see if I really understand defensively what they're doing by audibling. And if they were wrong, okay, so be it. This is a developmental growth year. If Trey Lance plays bad in the opener against Chicago, that will lead every national football show in this country. Like, that scrutiny, that level of expectation is what ruins a lot of quarterbacks. The way this thing was set up initially, young quarterback came into a bad team, got a chance to beat Troy Aikman in year one, got a chance to beat Peyton Manning in year one, throwing, what, 28 interceptions? And nobody cared because it was building for the future. Expectation, to me, is the toughest obstacle for a young quarterback, and Trey Lance is in a situation where the Niners have a whole lot of it.
You actually bring up Trevor Lawrence, and he's making a jump into a new coaching regime, new system. A guy who was a QB when he was in the league in Doug Peterson versus an Urban Meyer that we know a lot of issues mismanaged there. How much will this mean for Trevor Lawrence's development in the NFL to have a guy who not only has played the position but is serious about coaching the team?
Well, I mean, anytime a quarterback comes into that dumpster fire of a situation that last year was for the Jacksonville Jaguars, I mean, everything outside of that has to look sunny and bright, right? The fact that Doug Peterson is a former quarterback, you know, enhances the situation even more because now you have somebody that's played the position that can help in your development. So I do expect Trevor Lawrence to take a huge jump. I don't love what Jacksonville did in the offseason. I feel like they overpaid for marginal type talent. I'm glad that Christian Kirk got the bag, but I don't think on anybody that's rational, you think Christian Kirk's a number one. I'd make some arguments that he's probably not a number two wide receiver in this league. So I don't really know that he's surrounded by elite talent, like, say, a Tua, who has Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle, who caught 100 balls last year. And they brought in Chase Edmonds and Raheem Mostert as a legit tight end in just second. I mean, I don't think he has that kind of supporting group, but I do think he's extremely talented for a quarterback his size. I think he has an elite arm, and I do think he has a much better level of consistency and professionalism throughout the organization.
We're spending a few minutes with Sean King, former NFL QB and host on the VSiN Network from Las Vegas. And we'll get into that in a second because he's actually about to make a big change. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. So I got to ask you this because you played in the league. You were a quarterback. The NFL Top 100 is chosen by players. And the players themselves put Tom Brady as the number one guy on the NFL Top 100. I'm not saying the guy isn't amazing. Obviously, his longevity alone speaks for itself, the hardware and all of that jazz, and had a really good season. In your opinion, though, as a former NFL QB, and actually one that played in Tampa, is he number one in the NFL?
I think Tom Brady is the greatest overachiever in the history of professional sports. If you go back and look at Tom Brady's combine picture, he looked like he avoided the weight room all 4 or 5 years at Michigan. You could never look at that picture and think that in 2022, at the age of 45, he'd have 7 championships, 3 MVPs, and be coming off of the year he had last year. What did he throw for 5,040 touchdowns? I mean, it's phenomenal. It's amazing. He's married to what I think is almost a billionaire. I mean, he's winning in every aspect of life. This is a situation where they're giving him his flowers while he's still playing. Hat tip to Tom Brady. Well-deserved. Much, earned.
So that it's a sign of respect from the rest of the league to make him number one.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely, 100%.
Sean King is with Visa Network in Las Vegas, spending a few minutes with us here after our CBS Sports Radio. Couple of maybe storylines or topics that we haven't touched on that really pique your interest as we're about to kick off the 22 season.
I think it's disrespectful that the win total on the Pittsburgh Steelers is 7.5. So for those of you listening that like to make money, Mike Tomlin has been the head coach in Pittsburgh for 15 years. He's never, ever had a losing record. Now, I'm not a mathematician, but they're playing 17 games, 8-1. The only way he doesn't have a losing record, the total's at 7.5. I think this Pittsburgh team's vastly underrated. I think they win 10. Push 11 games. I do think that roster is legit offensively with weaponry and with Brian Flores being added to help on the defensive side, kind of shore up that run game that was abysmal last year. I like Pittsburgh to be a borderline playoff team, probably in the playoffs. Secondly, I am buying Jameis Winston and the New Orleans Saints. I actually have them in the Super Bowl.
Wow.
Playing against Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills. I love what the Saints have done. Nobody's talking about them. They got one of the top five defenses in football. Dennis Allen is now the head coach. That's not going to change. They kept Carmichael. Carmichael was with Sean Payton from day one in New Orleans, so nothing changed schematically on offense. He has one of the best quartets of offensive weapons. Mike Thomas is back healthy. They added Jarvis Landry, drafted Chris Olave. Alvin Kamara is there. I'm telling you, last year when Jameis got hurt, 14 touchdowns, 3 picks. Jameis is my dark horse MVP candidate this year, Amy. Saints, Bills in Arizona playing for it all.
All right, I promise you're never going to hear that anywhere else except for Sean King. So that's fun to do that here on our show. What do you remember about the emotions of these last few days before the season would kick off?
Well, first of all, you're hoping you didn't get called today because I think today was cut day.
Yes.
The first thing is hopefully I made it. And secondly, is let's get it going. Like, man, the offseason is so tiring and so monotonous. I got OTAs and I got training camp and I got preseason games. I don't really want to play, but I kind of need to get a couple snaps, but I don't want to go full speed. I don't want to get hurt. Now we get to actually play where it matters. Like, these statistics actually go towards me getting more money if I do well. So, like, this is that time of year. Everybody's excited. Everybody's fired up. You know, all this work in the off season, you finally get to showcase to America who you are and what you're about. So, I mean, it's a very exciting moment. And when you look at the fact that this time last year, who thought Cincinnati was going to be a Super Bowl participant?
Right.
Every team in the NFL, Amy, has expectations. I even had some Jets fans telling me that Joe Flacco is going to lead them to something and then Zach Wilson is going to take over. Like, it's the most delusional group of fan bases in the world. Cowboy fans still believe this is their year. No shot. Patriots fans believe that Matt Patricia is going to win, like, coordinator of the year, calling all. Like, it's great. It's a phenomenal time to be a football fan.
It is. And I always tell fans the first month, freaking tap the brakes. Nobody's winning the Super Bowl in September, but people go crazy over it. All right, you just wrapped up a show that you'd been hosting for a year called The Nightcap on Visa Network. What's next for you, Sean?
So I'm shout out to everybody that listened to The Nightcap. Watch The Nightcap. If you don't know, Visa can be viewed. It's actually a television show on YouTube TV, on Fubo and Hulu. Also, if you subscribe, you can watch the shows via the app. It's also a radio show that's syndicated across our country. You can download the VSIN, V-S-I-N app for free and listen. Myself and my partner in crime, Tim Murray, are moving to 6 to 9 Eastern, 3 to 6 Pacific, a new show called VSIN Primetime. If you want to make some extra money, you get to listen to the best sports handicappers this country has to offer. Get what we think about Thursday night football, what we think about the upcoming weekend in college and pro. If you're a baseball fan, our show comes on before those 7 o'clock games. And listen, last thing I got for you, Amy, we have what we call the college and pro betting guide. So if you go to VSiN.com/subscribe, we've done all the work for you. You don't have to research Ryan Helinski at Northwestern. We told you that Northwestern was going to cover the 12 versus Nebraska, but you got to buy the guide. I'm saying in the guide the Saints are going to the Super Bowl. So you can find out all this information if you go to VSiN.com/subscribe. Amy, you don't have all that extra time to go through 100-plus college teams and look at all these 32 NFL rosters and know what's what. Just get the guide.
It is just a taste of what you'll get with Sean and Tim on their show on VSiN Network. Again, moving to 3 to 6 Pacific, 6 to 9 Eastern time. You can find Sean on Twitter at RealSeanKing, S-H-A-U-N. He's a former NFL QB, a member of that Tampa Bay Buccaneers Super Bowl championship going back to Super Bowl 37. It's great to catch up with you. You're welcome anytime. Thank you, Sean.
Hey, Amy, thanks for having me. It's been a blast. You're awesome at what you do. I don't know who your favorite team is, but I hope they go above and beyond
yes.
what you expect.
Me too. That was fun. Sean and I crossed paths briefly at my previous network. But he's great to have on the air and got a new show on VSiN, so check that out. And he mentions the VSiN Pro Football Betting Guide now available. To take a deep dive into the upcoming NFL season through a bettor's lens. And VSiN.com/subscribe is actually, it's a baby of Brent Musburger. And we all know what he's meant to the broadcast industry. He's actually got a column going through the season's biggest storyline. So if you sign up for VSiN.com/subscribe, you will get your copy of that column from Brent Musburger. It's a good network. They've amassed some really competent people, and we've been able to have different VSiN guests on the show over the last few months. We anticipate more of that, including Sean. On Twitter, A-Law Radio, on our Facebook page and YouTube channel, After Hours with Amy Lawrence, and you're listening to CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast. We welcome all kinds here on After Hours.
Oh, Amy, thank you so much. You're awesome. This is my first time calling.
Boom.
And, I Googled you, too, because I was like, I wonder what she looks like, you know?
Great.
You're very beautiful.
Hey, Amy, it's just a pure thrill to talk to you. I can't say enough about how much I like your show.
I want you to know, you're only starting out in your greatness. You got another 30 or 40 years. The way you carry yourself, I mean, oh, my God, it's like you're a typewriter. You're just reeling away, and you're not boring at all.
Well, that's good to know.
Don't be afraid to catch fish. Don't be afraid to catch these fish. Ride your cup and chase through.
Yeah. Amy's taking your calls at 855-212-4CBS.
I know she says feels because Isaac told me she says feels, but I swear it sounds like fish to me. Don't be afraid to catch fish. See what I mean? Sounds like fish. And at first I didn't understand. I do like that song and I think she's amazing, but I swear the first time I heard it, first few times, it still sounds like fish. Don't be afraid to catch fish. It's After Hours with... I know you ain't afraid about this. See? See, that sounds like fish.
A little bit. I see it. I hear it.
Now you're not going to be able to unhear it. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. Hope you enjoy that conversation with Sean King. I like what he had to say. He gave me the explanation that I was looking for. With Tom Brady as the number one guy on the NFL's top 100. And it's voted on by fellow players, right? So competitors. It's a sign of respect. Maybe because people believe this will be Tom Brady's last year. And so it's a nod to the man is still incredible and competitive and can take 11 days off in the middle of training camp and still be the man. So yeah, maybe a nod to him simply because people expect, a lot of people expect that this will be his last year. However, I don't know if that's the case. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. He did always say to Jim Gray and on his radio show and podcast that he'll retire when he sucks. I mean, we're not at that point yet because his numbers last year were still off the charts. And if you remember, along with Aaron Rodgers, he was considered the front runner or top contender for NFL MVP.
Yeah, I love Aaron Rodgers.
We know. After Hours with Amy Lawrence on our Facebook page and YouTube channel. And we're going to get away from sports here for just like 60 seconds because we ran a little long with Sean. And so we don't have a long segment here. But did you guys hear about the emotional support alligator in Philadelphia? This was all the rage over the last couple of days. And I'm sorry, I understand how dogs, cats, rabbits, maybe even lizards can be emotional support animals. Maybe a lizard. They're not very cuddly, though. But I know that my nieces have had lizards in the past, and they loved them. I don't know if they rely on them for emotional support. I have been a little suspect about people who tried to claim that a peacock was an emotional support animal. What exactly is supportive about a peacock? I have some friends, though, that have pet birds. I mean, the kind that talk to you and are really smart and play games and learn all kinds of fun skills. So, okay, in that case, I can see where a bird as a companion might provide emotional support, but peacocks do not talk. They make a lot of noise, and they parade around, the males anyway. And they're pretty. But could you imagine, do you guys remember the story where some airline traveler tried to take, I don't remember if it was a him or a her, tried to take his or her peacock on the plane and was denied? And wanted to sue the airline and made a huge stink because that was his or her emotional support peacock. Stop it. Stop it. At some point, you have to consider the safety of others. So here's the strangest one. Up until this point, peacock was the strangest version of emotional support animal I've ever heard. But Jay, did you see the stories about Wally the alligator?
I see them. I do see them.
Who was walking through a park on a leash with his owner, Joey or Joy. He lives in York, PA. I actually know where that is. And he took Wally to Love Park in Philadelphia for a meet and greet with the public. Mm-hmm. He takes his emotional support alligator to senior centers, minor league baseball games, and now parks. The alligator, Wally, even gets to splash through fountains in said parks.
Sounds like a horrible idea. With children and everything running around, locals.
So there's an alligator. There are a lot of people who obviously were watching this, tweeting about it, sharing photos, videos, which is how it went viral. One woman named Britt did a bunch of interviews because she was there in Love Park when Wally the alligator was hanging out with Joy. We were walking by Love Park and saw this kid playing with an alligator in the fountain. Okay, I'm not a parent yet. Someday I will be a parent. There is no way I would allow my child to play with an alligator. I don't care how much Wally is an emotional support alligator. There's not a chance my child is playing with an alligator unless the alligator's jaws are roped shut. And if you look at the photos, now I know Wally is on a leash, but Wally is not restrained. His jaws are open as he's playing in this park. So this woman goes on to say, there was a ton of people around taking pictures. The alligator and the girl seemed to be with her family who were sitting off to the side. People were picking up the alligator, petting it, all sorts of stuff. Nope. Nope. There's another photo of the alligator and the man snuggling. Apparently, the gator was rescued about 7 years ago when it was just over a year old. He likes back rubs, not the man, the alligator, and gives hugs and has been an emotional support animal for this man and for others. Apparently, Wally, the emotional support alligator, sleeps with his owner in the same bed.
And steals his pillows and blankets, apparently,
you
too.
You are asking to have part of you bit off by an alligator. If you sleep in the bed with a gator, you will get bit by the gator.
Maybe we'll finally find someone with one ass cheek.
Oh, my gosh. I bet that's not the first thing that Wally Gator bites. But these stories never end well. People who keep large cats as pets, and I mean tigers, cheetahs, lions. How about the stories of people who have pet chimps or other types of monkeys? Do you know what those monkeys eventually do? They tear their faces off. They maul their owners. These are not domesticated animals. Nor is an alligator. Oh my gosh. I have a pastor. His name is Ryan at my church. And he says, I mean, he's very sarcastic. So sarcasm is one of my love languages, which makes me laugh. He talks about people getting eaten by their emotional support animals or getting mauled by their emotional support animals. And he actually says that every time he hears a story like this, he actually laughs, because the only thing that a lion is thinking is, I want to eat you. And it's just a matter of time. I mean, I don't even know what to do with this. I just saw it online and thought it would be interesting fodder to bring up. Yeah.
Damn alligator bit my hand off.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
An emotional support alligator will eventually bite someone or something. So we're afraid of pit bulls in this country, which, yeah, I understand it. They've got quite a track record. But we're not afraid of alligators, emotional support alligators, or an emotional support peacock who could peck your eyes out, or emotional support chimps who could tear you from limb to limb. I don't get it. I don't get it.
What's next?
I mean, I love my dog.
Emotional support grizzly bears. Why not?
I love my dog and I love my cat. I have friends who have rabbits and birds, not peacocks. I can't even fathom this. And how no one thinks this is a really bad idea.
It's all right. He's cuddly.
He sleeps in the bed with his alligator. Wow. No wonder he's not married. Actually, maybe he's married. I shouldn't say that. He chose his alligator over his woman.
Sounds very uncomfortable.
It does. Yeah, not kind of scaly and prickly.
Teeth.
Plus the teeth. Huh. All right. I don't know how many years it will be until we hear about Joey getting eaten by his emotional support alligator, but I'll expect that story at some point on the internet. I hope it doesn't happen. I'm not saying I want it to, only that, you know, there'll be people out there who said, I told you so. I promise I won't be one of those. Maybe. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast. This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Emotional support alligators. Goodness. I wonder if alligators can get diabetes, though. Because maybe that's an upgrade over my dog who currently has diabetes. And she's not causing me great stress. But a problem with her insulin shipment is definitely causing me great stress. I'm trying not to think about it because her insulin shipment is delayed, has been delayed for days. And she's only had half doses since Saturday, half of what she should have. And so far, so good with Penny, but she's an older dog and she's supposed to be on her insulin twice a day. It hasn't been, and it didn't arrive at my house by the time I left on Monday night. So I'm trying to breathe and be calm about the fact that she's not on the insulin that she's supposed to be. So maybe alligators don't have to worry about that. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Top of the hour, the head coach and the athletic director at San Diego State University speak out about the alleged gang rape incident that took place last fall at an off-campus residence where Matt Araiza, former Bills punter, and two other Aztec players were implicated in a civil lawsuit that was just released or just posted last week. And this, of course, led to Araiza's release by the Buffalo Bills after what was a fairly tumultuous weekend with a lot of questions. As always, the reaction on social media to this topic is astounding because many people are reacting without bothering to even read an article that might offer basic facts. We engaged in a really thoughtful conversation with Bills insider Matt Perino of Syracuse.com. The link is on both our Twitter and our Facebook page. And again, it gives you the facts, at least the basic facts of not only the Bills' knowledge, but also what we know from the civil lawsuit that was filed. Many of you are asking questions that, had you listened to the interview, you would know. Like, why didn't this young woman go to authorities until Matt Araiza became an NFL player? Unbelievable. She did, actually, go to authorities immediately. She told her friends and family. There was a rape kit that was done. Law enforcement in San Diego State are the ones who have been slow to act, despite the fact that she was 17 years old and a high school senior at the time that she alleged she was raped by three or four different men, college students. So I wanted to bring back just this answer from Matt Perino. We did share this on our social media, but we asked him, what did the Bills have to say about the timing of this whole thing and the fact that Matt Araiza had already made the team and become a starter? And they knew that there were allegations out there going back to July.
There's definitely some questions about the timing. Like, you know, Brandon Bean couldn't say if, you know, the timeline of it is, it's still a little bit hazy. And, you know, it felt like that the fact that he came to the stadium on Friday night, and they still hadn't wanted to, you know, make a definitive decision on that, even as they were kind of learning some of the more graphic details. And Sean McDermott said he learned more things about this case after they saw the 11-page court civil suit document. So I can understand that to a degree, but it does feel like they weren't really willing to move on until everybody really knew the scope of it. And that's the part that I think doesn't sit well with people because, you know, whether it's, you know, just the graphic details of what was in that civil suit doc. And of course, it's one side of the story,
right?
But I'm not going to sit here and assume innocence for Matt Araiza. I think everybody knows somebody in their life that's been affected by this kind of behavior, this kind of incident, and it turns your stomach and it's sickening. And, you know, any type of involvement in it, and you see the direct quotes of Araiza in the filing, and it just, with all that being the case, maybe just even having him be away from the team would have probably been a better approach. But they, at the end of the day, with all that said, and the fact that this could have been done better, no doubt about it, on the Bills' end, I think at the very least they made the right decision in the end, which was moving on from him.
Matt Perino of Syracuse.com, who was with the team all weekend and also had an opportunity to talk with players on the Bills roster Monday in open practice. So even though the Bills can say this chapter is done, there are likely to be other questions about what they knew when and why they handled it the way that they did, or why they didn't handle it differently. But if you would like to hear the rest of that conversation with Matt, as I say, it's thoughtful, it's factual, it's as many questions as answered, and I think it is worth your time if you would like to know the story. Too many people don't care about the actual story. They throw their opinions out there and don't care if they have the facts. To me, that's foolish. So I hope that you will check it out on our podcast, After Hours, amylawrence.com. One way that social media makes its mark is with hot takes, right? But when it comes to alleged gang rape of a high school senior, I'm not sure hot takes is the approach that you should be using. So we ask you to check it out on our Twitter, After Hours CBS, or on our Facebook page. You're listening to After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.